Blog Talk Radio.
Downs of a carousel. Life is a three-ring circus. Yes, sir. We got polar bears. We got penguins. We got elephants. We got Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum. We got all sorts of animals. It's a three-ring circus. That's just what it is. And I thought it was appropriate to have that song as our lead off today, because we have a very special show, and our special show is Seussical the Musical, which is being performed at the Booth Theater here in Charlotte, North Carolina, Friday, 7 o'clock, and Saturday at 2, and again at 7. And if you're in the Charlotte area, it's a great show. for the kids. Matter of fact, the kid in all of us. It's going to be a great show. It's performed by the Noda School of Arts, which I happen to be a happy board member of. And right now, we have on the line with us our director and all-around person. She washes the dishes. She puts the drapes up. She does everything. Mrs. Kelly Brown.
How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm actually a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Well, that means you're doing good then.
Okay.
I mean, didn't you think that Blue Magic Three Ring Circus was perfect for Susago the Musical?
Oh yeah. All kind of crazy things in Susago.
I was there yesterday and on Monday, and you know what these kids learn in the short length of time is just unbelievable. I hear a lot of music in the background. Are you still at the studio? Huh?
Yep, I'm still here at the theater.
You still at the theater? Okay. Well, what? Tell us, what is Susago the Musical?
Well, Susago the Musical is a great deal of fun. It is based on 15 of the incredible Dr. Seuss, his different children's books. It's based largely off of Horton Hears a Who, but there are characters.
Say that again. Horton Hears a Who, what?
One of his books, and it was actually made into a movie recently, called Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, man.
And Horton the Elephant is minding his business off in the jungle of Newell, and he hears someone yell for help on this small speck of dust that's floating through the air. And so he grabs a little flower called a clover, and he catches the speck of dust, and it turns out that there is a whole community of Whos in Whoville live on that speck. And they can't steer their little Who planet, and they're going to crash and drown in the lakes and pools of the jungle if Horton doesn't help them. And so one half of the entire story is how Horton is determined to make sure that the Whos get help, because the jungle of Newell people, his fellow community, think he's nuts and see him into a speck, and they think, man, you've lost your mind. And there's a song called Biggest Blame Fool, talking to a speck. And so it turns out that his community puts him on trial for being crazy.
Oh, God.
And they, just to prove to you that there's no speck of dust, we're going to boil it in a hot steaming kettle of diesel nut oil. And so Horton has developed this friendship with one of the Whovillians named Jojo, who's actually the mayor's Whoville son. And so he and Jojo realize that they are very similar in their very wild, imaginative ways and their feeling about life and just wanting to be happy. And so when Horton goes to trial, he gets Jojo to do something crazy, to have this extra special think that makes the people in the jungle of Newell realize that he's dead. So he yells, Yop, Y-O-P-P, Yop! And then all the jungle animals hear it, and they realize that Horton was not crazy at all, that there really are people who live on this speck of dust, and Horton doesn't have to go to the insane asylum, and the Whos don't get boiled in the hot steaming kettle of diesel nut oil, and all is well.
Well, you know, now while Horton is screaming that I'm not crazy, where's this speck of dust at? Somebody has it in their hand or in their paw?
He's holding the speck of dust on the clover,
on his hoof.
Yeah.
Or on his trunk or on his hoof?
It's Dr. Seuss, so you can't take it real literally.
You mean Dr. Seuss was not real? I thought he was always real.
Well, you know, you have to imagine that. No, it, you know, it's the Saskatoon world of jungle animals and blue monkeys and elephants that talk and all kinds of fun Seussian stuff. So if you like Dr. Seuss books, if you're a student of his at all, if you read that to your kids or your grandkids, then this is a fabulous show to bring them to. It's full of music. It's almost completely music. Lots of high-energy dancing, kids on stage in fabulous costumes, singing Dr. Seuss, and hopefully entertaining kids in the audience as well as adults.
Was this ever made into Broadway, off-Broadway production, or California someplace?
Yeah, it sure was. It ran on Broadway 2001. It ran for somewhere like over 150 shows.
Oh,
so
God.
Somewhere in 3 years it ran on Broadway, and it was nominated for a few awards. You know, the things happen on Broadway, and a lot of times these shows don't get popular until after
right.
their Broadway run, and that's what happened with Seussical. It actually was rewritten. The book was rewritten several times, and they took songs out and added songs in and made different changes, and so it's had some struggles, but this is a classic, historic Broadway show.
Now, you know, I guess Dr. Seuss is, I guess, not my generation then. It must have came after me. Because I don't remember growing up with Dr. Seuss. I mean, I remember growing up with Goofy and Cinderella and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and the, you know,
That's
Dr. Seuss came later.
He did. He started publishing his book. Let's see, he just died in 1991, and his first book, Horton Hears a Who, was 1954. So that's your generation.
Okay, yeah. I was playing baseball then. I wasn't worried about Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was playing baseball in my little league, so, you know.
Okay.
But the thing is that what you've done with these kids, tell us the ranges of some of the kids who are going to be performing tomorrow and at the that's another thing we need to talk about. Tell us the ranges of the kids first.
I have eight-year-old people all the way through 19.
Unbelievable. And
yep.
And tomorrow you're doing a performance here in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the NOTA area at the Little Theater.
Yep.
Is that correct?
No, the Neighborhood Theater.
The Neighborhood Theater, not the Little Theater. Neighborhood Theater.
Yep.
What time is that going to be?
That's going to be at 2 o'clock, and that's by invitation only, though. That's a preview matinee show. So we'll have, we won't be in full costume. We'll have some costume pieces, and we'll have a lot of our props, but we can't take our set. Our set is too big
right.
and too complicated to be on that small stage. But what we do is invite local summer camps from around the city to come in and bring their students for free to get an idea of what the show is, to have a chance to see kids on stage, just like them performing and performing excellently on stage and giving them a show that a lot of them won't be familiar with. That'll happen tomorrow at 2, and we're expecting right now at about 300 kids.
We see, that's what I wanted to say. I mean, this is a service that the NOTA School of the Arts Noah School of Arts gives to the community. A lot of these children will never see a play, and maybe never.
Yeah,
and
that's
some
true.
Have seen plays, and a lot of kids will see this for the first time and say, you know what, I'd like to do that.
That's what our goal is. That's what we're hoping is, you know, we have children whose parents are just not aware of, you know, things like performances or, you know, especially in Charlotte, they may feel intimidated to go uptown and navigate that whole scene. So it's our chance to bring the theater to them a little bit and get them interested and hopefully cause them to want to come uptown and see a show. But, you know, Michael, I also have kids that come in the summer and they've never seen a professional show either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not every kid But a lot of them come and I say, you know, what? Tell me what shows you've seen. And they'll say, well, I saw this thing at my church, or I saw a show at my school. And I'll ask them, well, have you ever seen a professional theatrical piece? And they say, no. So this is a chance to be involved in a professional piece, to perform on a professional stage at the Booth Playhouse here in Charlotte. And then we also take them to see a production of CPCC summer theater shows. So they get a chance to go out to a different theater and see another group of people. And those are mainly adults, but they get to go and see a professional show themselves. So it's really, you know, we feel like we are helping instill in them a real element of class and culture that a lot of times they don't tend to get without a lot of initiation on their own.
Right. Have you ever had any kids that have never gone or gone to a few, one or two, that have sat in the audience and then the next year they said, you know, I saw this, I think I do this, I want to do this, I'd like to learn how to do this. Have you ever had any kids say that to you?
You know, they always ask, many of them, because their parents aren't with them, we get a bit of a gap, and we don't collect any information and email them or anything like that because obviously their parents are at work or, or something. But I get kids to tell me, hey, how do I do this? I want to be in this next year. Now, I don't know of any particular child who that has actually happened, usually because they're not old enough to follow through with it on their own. And often, Michael, you know, the interest for our summer theater intensive is extremely high. I wish I could accommodate 100, 150 kids. I don't want to have that many because my philosophy is that every child needs to have a piece of the show. A song, a dance number, some part of the show that features them. And if I have a whole bunch of kids, I don't want a bunch of kids, you know, 30 kids in the back standing around in the ensemble. I don't want that. For I want them.
I heard that yesterday in your instructions.
I think did you hear me fussing at them?
Yes, I did. But you know, it's just like you know the whole story of. I grew up, my mother was the first black female theatrical agent in New York City, and I grew up around the grease paint, and she always used to tell them, that's what I said yesterday. I got that from my mother. That wasn't coming out of my head. She said, hey, A-B-I-C, always be in character.
That's right.
And, you know, you got only 4 days left to do this, and then you can do whatever you want, but now it's time. A, B, I, C. So the thing is that it takes something to be that way. It takes something to be that way. And but this will be my second summer now that I'm on the board. But this will be my second production that I've actually seen. And I want to tell you, how do these kids learn this in such a short length of time?
Right. Well, you know, I think a lot of times we get parents and kids and they think that this is some kind of, you know, light, kind of playful sort of thing.
Right.
And they get a real reality check when they realize, wait a minute, this is serious and everybody here is taking this seriously and I had better really start working hard. So one of the things I do is I tell my parents when they get accepted into the program, I tell them, listen, you know, your kids are going to go home with homework. And they'll be responsible for memorizing lines and blocking and choreography. And if they can't do that, then they might lose their part. And what happens is they get so excited. When they start learning songs and when they see the choreography come together and they get their script in their hand and they get to go home and look through it, you know, they just become so entrenched in the whole experience and they're having so much fun before they even realize it. They've memorized whole sections of a scene or whole sections of the script and they oftentimes will surprise themselves. But I think we often underestimate what children can do. You know, how many do you play a song on the radio and you've got a little 18-month-old in the back of the car, and you know, you're playing your music, and the next time you play it, the 18-month-old is kind of singing the rhythm to the same song that you're listening to.
Please. My youngest grandson is that way. And as a matter of fact, I sort of hesitated about bringing him this weekend because he is going to demand that you put him in the show. I'm telling you right now.
I love it.
And he memorizes stuff, but you don't just tell him once, he's got it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the kids tomorrow is really their dress rehearsal. Am I correct?
That's a good way of putting it, yes.
So it's going to be the dress, a half dress rehearsal.
Right.
But so the kids that come from the summer school who are going to see this, if they ever want or they feel that they have it within them, that they want to be a part of the Notre School of Arts, how can they get a hold of someone to help them? Besides calling me.
Someone's calling in?
Yeah, besides calling me.
I think Diane said she was going to call in, but she doesn't want you to put her on.
Okay, well, that's put her on.
So, answer that question?
Yes, I want you to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when we contact the summer camp, we send them a flyer to send to their parents and kids.
Okay, right.
And people who know how to get in touch with me, so they have all my contact information. And if a parent is really interested, then they can contact their summer camp and say, hey, you know, my kid went to go see this show by the Notre School of Arts. How do I get in touch with the lady that runs that? And they'll be able to pass that along.
Okay. Now, I noticed it was unbelievable. I noticed it more yesterday, because I think they were more intense yesterday. Every one of them was looking right through me to that mirror behind me and making sure that their arm was flared out right and their leg was flared out right, and they looked the part, pretending that they were in costume, which I saw. It was intense, especially with the young lady as the lead that I talked to you about, that the beautiful voice.
Yes, that's Amari. She plays Maisie.
Right, right. And she last year played Cinderella?
She was the fairy godmother.
Fairy godmother, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that what has been here and... How long is this intensive course?
How long is it? We started the last week of June, and we run our show is the first weekend in August. So it's
every day they come? 5 days a week?
Monday to Friday, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then we're here from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's full-on rehearsal the entire time.
That is, it's really, ladies and gentlemen, you have to come out and see what this young lady has produced, our executive director. I mean, these kids have, and some of them have never had any training. Isn't that correct?
Okay. We actually target kids that don't have training. We feel like those are the children that need more opportunity and need more of a shot to discover their talent.
Right.
And so, you know, if you've got a kid who's had, you know, 10, 8 years of ballet training, then they've got resources and places to look to continue to hone their skill. We're looking for talent and for kids to get on the stage and say, wow, I never knew that I could sing like that. Or, I never knew I could learn choreography and dance like that. You know, I had a couple of kids this year start off saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I get very to the point with them and tell them, I don't want to hear you say you can't do it. You can and you will.
Right.
And I tell them, you say it. I say, I can and I will. And they say, I can and I will. And I said, and I know you will. And by the end of the summer, they are amazed at their own talent and ability
right.
to learn and grow personally as an artist. So I'm looking for children who are at a point of discovery for the stage as opposed to kids who are already, you know, perfecting it.
Right. You have time for one question because I think somebody called in here. Hello, caller, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello, who's this?
Oh, this is Clover.
Clover, one of the
How
board
are
members.
How are you? I thought I was just listening. I didn't think you knew.
Yes, I know. I know everything.
Hi, Clover.
Hi, Kelly. Love you.
Love you, too.
Sorry, I haven't been there.
And are we going to see you this weekend, Clover?
I'm going to be there tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. So I will be there then. I've just been trying to deal with these health issues because I didn't
right.
want to miss out on anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I will see you there also. Do you have any
okay,
questions?
Okay, my dear. Good.
Audience?
I'm glad to hear it.
Do you have anything you'd like to tell the audience?
Well, the only thing I can say about Nona and Kelly is absolutely wonderful. She knows exactly what she's doing. She is so professional, it's unbelievable. She handles the children with ease and expertise, and I just love her, and I love those children. They become like a part of me. And other than that, I just wish that every child could have the experience of being with Miss Kelly
mm-hmm.
and going on to bigger and better things, as have some of the other kids done. And that's all.
Very good.
Thank you, Clover. Thank you.
Thank you, Clover.
It's the truth.
Okay.
Okay.
So Kelly, tell us now what everything is, where to go, what the price of the tickets, how to get there, blah, 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 blah.
So the show opens on Friday, August 2nd at
mm-hmm.
7 o'clock at the Booth uh-huh. Playhouse here in Charlotte, North Carolina, located at 130 North Tryon, inside
mm-hmm.
Founders Hall, which is the same building as the Belk Theater.
Right.
Tickets can be purchased at the door or at CarolinaTix.org. Again, CarolinaTix.org. They can also be purchased by calling 704-372-1000. They can accommodate you that way also. So there are three ways to buy tickets: at the door, online at the website, CarolinaTix.org, or by calling 704-372-1000.
Do you have anything handy that we can listen to, a little sample of what's going to go,
sure,
or we couldn't set that up?
I sure do. I had to turn it down so I could hear you talking.
Why don't you play a little bit for us? This is the some of the musical music from Seussical the Musical.
Here we go. This is the song called Biggest Blame Fool, and it opens with a character called the Sour Kangaroo saying how this guy is the biggest blame fool in the jungle of Newell, and I don't care who I tell. Things about this show is there's music from several different genres. So you have kind of a fun, whimsy drama genre of music and kind of classic Broadway style. And
mm-hmm.
you have Latin music in there and nice salsa going on. There's a couple of blues songs in there and some gospel.
Yeah, you can turn that down, the music, a little bit, because I'm having trouble hearing it.
So I was saying there's blues, there's jazz,
right.
There's gospel, there's salsa and merengue, there's everything in there. There's a beautiful, beautiful ballad called Solus Blues. And, you know, these kids are doing ballet training when they come. They're not just doing a little simple kind of sidestep, jazz hands, turn in a circle and do a grapevine. No, these children are doing pas de reis and batmans and chassés, and they're learning classic ballet terminology while they're doing, getting classic ballet training along with Broadway-style training. There's a group of girls, six girls, who are bird girls, and they're kind of like the entourage and the narrators of the whole show. And these girls are learning, you know, salsa and merengue and all kinds of, you know, movement that I'm not sure that they would be interested in otherwise. So
right.
The dancing is phenomenal. My choreographer, Robin Bishop, is incredible.
Well, yeah, I was just about to mention her. I was just about to mention her. What's her name again?
Robin Bishop.
Right.
And
from New York.
She's from Brooklyn, New York. And
right.
She truly went to Juilliard, graduated from Juilliard. She was in Wiz. She was in the movie Fame when she was in the Wiz when she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And so the dancing, people are always shocked. They can't believe the level of difficulty that the kids on stage are doing.
Right,
and that
right,
all
right.
With our idea of excellence and performance.
Mm-hmm. How long is the show? Because I had one person ask me, well, I have a 4-year-old, 5-year-old that might be interested, but how long is the show?
The show will be about 2 hours and 20, 25 minutes long. There's a 15-minute intermission between Act 1 and Act 2. And I understand that about somebody who's 3 or 4 or 5.
Right.
But here's what's special about Seussical. First of all, the set will be amazing. There's bright colors everywhere. It's such high energy. There's almost nonstop dancing and singing. And from what I've heard other parents who have seen the production of Seussical, you know, their 3-year-old comes in whining and kind of fitful and busy, and the show starts, and they are mesmerized for the full 2 hours.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, because when I went there last year, I mean, people were coming in with their babies, I guess because they didn't have any place to go to leave them off with, and
mm-hmm.
You didn't hear them during the show.
Right.
You didn't hear them. Even the babies were looking.
Yeah.
Because everything was so brightly done, and the music was something that, you know, they got into. They were able to get into. So
yeah.
I think it will be a fabulous treat for any child that comes there. If they had any problems before they got there, I think they'll be very much happy that they came, and the adult too.
I agree.
And it's something, and I think this is something that the, you know, hey, the youngster and all of us will like to see.
Yeah,
because
I agree. I was nodding my head.
I was nodding my head up and down with the music at last night's rehearsal. So I really you got into it, and that was just seeing the few things that they were doing and stopping and redoing and stopping, and it you got into it.
Yeah, you do. This music will, you know, you'll be singing it before you know it, and then you'll be thinking, I can't get this song out of my head. It's infectious.
Right. Now, who is the young man? I guess he's playing the Cat in the Hat, or is he the Cat in the Hat? He's the Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, his name is Abraham Smith.
Uh-huh.
And he's phenomenal. He actually is the third sibling from a family of 4 siblings to be with us. His oldest 2 brothers were with us when we started back in 2005. And his oldest brother is 20 now. He's going into his junior in college. His younger brother actually just came to – I'm sorry, the second oldest brother came to pick him up today. he's going into the College of Engineering at Alabama A&T. And, you know, I watched these kids grow up. And when we started, Abraham was too little to be in Nota School of Arts. And now you fast forward to 2013, and he's starring as Cat in the Hat, and he's doing a fabulous job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing that, which I liked about performing arts. If you're in performing arts, it not only helps you with everything else, but it helps you in school because you know that you have to focus. It teaches those children how to focus. And I can't say enough about what you're doing down there, and we'll just break a leg this week and make sure that everybody is not just a star, but a star is born in every one of them.
That's right. I love that. That's exactly right. And thank you so much for your support and help, Mr. Law.
All right. I know you got to run, so I will let you run.
All right. Thank you. I'll see you guys on Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I'll be there Friday and Saturday.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is our director at the Nota School of the Arts, Ms. Kelly Brown, who has done a fabulous, fabulous job as the director with no pay. She needs to get a salary. So we need to have patrons come in and help. But the first thing we need, though, we need to have patrons to come in to support the kids. To support the kids. Never mind about people getting paid down the road. We don't care about that. We need the people coming in to support the kids, make sure they have shoes for the costumes, make sure they have costumes, make sure they have a place to rehearse at, make sure they have a place to rehearse on a floor where they can dance. It is so difficult, and it does not, this isn't free. When you go to the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center here in Charlotte, which is the major performing arts center in Charlotte, North Carolina, matter of fact, probably one of the main ones in the state of North Carolina, with the Booth Playhouse is in Blumenthal. It's in the same building. It's for smaller venue shows. And to go in there isn't free. They're not giving it away for free. So it costs, and we need the parents who do a fabulous job in helping support the Nota School of the Arts, but we need other people to help support. Come down and see the show. It's $15 for an adult. You can't beat that with a stick. And when you take your grandson or your son or your daughter there with you, and I don't care if the daughter or son is 15 years old, they're going to love to play. They're going to love it. Last year they did Schoolhouse Rock and Cinderella. It was fabulous. So what we need to do is you need to call me. Call my show, 646-716-5242. Send me an email, M-A-M Lawson, that's M-A-M-L-A-W-S-O-N, at at.net, saying that you want to get involved with the Nota School of Arts. And I will make that happen. We're not talking about $15,000. We're talking about $15. We're talking about $10. Anything that will help support the students and help support the performing arts here at the Nota School of Arts will help make this show next year better. And I just hope to see most of you down there I'm going to be down there Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday for the 2 o'clock matinee, because I'm bringing my grandkids. And Saturday night for the 7 o'clock. After I run over from church, because I can be at church at 5. So make sure you come. It's $5 for the kids, $15 for the adults. What? You can't go to the movies for $20. You can't, and buy something to eat or drink. I went to the movies last weekend with my wife. I didn't get out of there because it cost $30. I didn't get out of that movie without spending $30. Now, come on, give me a break here. You can do it. You can do it. And they have a break where you can take and get something to eat, you know, get some soda or some popcorn or something. So take my word for it. Give me a call. You can call me, 704-458-8150. That's my cell. You can get me direct. Call me. And I will make sure that you get a ticket. I will make sure that you get a seat. And I will make sure I meet you at the front door to make sure you get a seat. But you are doing not me a service. You're doing the students and the kids who just love to do this. And you're helping a great school of the arts that every single child can go to. Everybody can't afford, and everybody's not as good as to get into the Northwest School of the Arts. Every student, they might be good, but hey, maybe they just haven't had the practice like these other students that go that get into the, that perform and get into the Northwest School of the Arts here in Charlotte. But this is a way, and I can tell you, there's a lot of our students that wind up going to the Northwest School of the Arts. And I know Northwest School of the Arts. I taught there for 9.5 years, so I know all about it. But I'm telling you, you need to make sure that you help these kids who, with their own means, may not ever be seen and may never know that they have talent. Everybody needs a chance. Try to help give these kids a chance. Okay. Now that I said my bit for humanity, I thought I was trying to get my, thought my cousin might call in because I want to talk about now, I got 10 minutes left, Alex Rodriguez and Mr. Brown. Bobby Brown. I'm not Bobby Brown. Bobby Bonds Brown. Bobby Bonds and Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez may be banned for the rest of his life. And as my cousin George says, yep, Bobby Bonds, always a great hitter, hit the ball to the wall, to the warning track, off the wall. As we used to say growing up, he had warning track power. And then all of a sudden, he has a head twice the size, his feet are twice the size, and now he's hitting the ball into the San Francisco Bay. What happened? Duh, steroids. And I want to tell you, I have been sick with a epidural. I had to get an epidural steroid shot because I had a sciatica attack. And I want to tell you, steroids put weight on. I gained 8 pounds, and I've only had 3 shots. Boy, suppose you're getting them like every other month. You're only supposed to have 4. But yeah, we just have to see now. And as a matter of fact, this guy Braun, I should say, from, is he with Milwaukee? He won the MVP last year, 2012, that would be. No, 2011. Oh, 2012. And when Matt Kemp should have won it, because Matt Kemp did not take steroids, but Braun did. And now Braun is being suspended for the rest of the year. He should give back the MVP title. He should. And it should go to Mr. Matt Kemp, who I think had a superior year anyway, even though he was playing to be the MVP player with this guy Braun, who was cheating using steroids. Another guy, Braun, who had warning track power and then came away, all of a sudden he's hitting the ball over the fences. Gee, isn't that nice? But what are you going to say when you have people that cheat? Hey, you cheat with them? Or do you just say, well, I'm going to be good. I am not going to do anything that is wrong. I you know, it's just like you ever saw the movie Caine Mutiny? And that's who this reminds me of, Alex Rodriguez and this guy Braun. I mean, you know, I'm nervous. Everybody else was doing it. Whoa. I mean, I let me play a little bit right here.
Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run the ship properly with the book, but they fought me at every turn.
Well, that's what he says. He says, I wanted to be a good ball player, but they were... they were all cheating. The pitchers were using the steroids, so I had to use the steroids too. Nah, don't work like that. There are plenty of people that did good and didn't use steroids. So my prediction is that Mr. I believe Braun was now suspended for the rest of the season. I think that Alex Rodriguez will be suspended for the rest of the season and next year, but he will not have a lifetime ban unless he fights it. Well, that'll only make him 40 when he comes back. So, can he come back? We will not know until he fights it. And I think if he fights it, he will be gone. They will ban him for life. You know, everybody says, Pete Rose didn't have to cheat. He wasn't taking steroids. Well, I guess they didn't have steroids back then when Pete was hitting all those balls, but he was hitting the ball. He was just betting on his own team, win or lose, which I think is far worse than taking steroids. So, hey. What are we going to do? You go from Pete Rose, there's always those. There are always those that try to cheat to get ahead. Pete Rose did not try to cheat to get ahead and make himself a better ball player. Pete Rose was a great ball player. But preventing Pete Rose from getting into the Hall of Fame, I think is the right thing to do, because he could have turned the whole game with his betting. Even though he never betted against his own team, he could have turned the whole thing around. The people with the steroids are only going to hurt themselves. It didn't make Bobby Bonds a better baseball hitter. It just had him, gave him the ability to hit the ball farther. Bobby Bonds was always a 315 hitter. He always batted over 300. When he started taking his steroids, he didn't bat over 300 anymore. Close to it, but his average dropped, but he hit a lot more home runs. So he gave up being in the Hall of Fame for hitting home runs. Pete Rose gave up the Hall of Fame for betting against teams, baseball teams. You know, You decide which one is worse. To me, betting on the baseball teams is worse because you never know. He says he never bet against his own team, but can we believe him? Well, I'm going to get out of here because this was a special, and I hope everybody's able to get to see the show in Charlotte, North Carolina, Seussical the Musical, starting Friday at 7 o'clock at the Booth Theater. That's right, you see, upstairs from the Blumenthal Performing Arts Theater. Tickets are $5 for children, $15 for adults. It runs about 2 hours and 25 minutes with a break in between, I believe a 15-minute break. And as I said, $5 for kids, $15 for adults. And then there will be a matinee on Saturday, this Saturday, at 2 o'clock. And then a final show at 7 o'clock, an evening show. Come on, everybody. Come out and give these kids the applause that they richly deserve. And I think you will definitely enjoy it. So, our next meeting will be this Friday. I will be broadcasting live from the Booth Theater with some interviews with the kids and the cast, the directors, choreographers, some of the parents, some of the people who are just attending. And remember, life is a three-ring circus. But I always like circus. I always love the circus. Good night.
That I know so. by Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and Chevrolet.